meeting of the Zelensky Water Quality Basin Number 2 Project Professional Service Committee to order. I have before me, or we have posted outside, rather, the Open Meeting Act. That's on the back door and on the back wall. With that, we have a forum call.
Here.
Udo?
Adoption agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Aye. Yes.
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of the meeting. With that, we move to item 6, review and recommendation of the Zelensky Water Quality Basin Number 2 Professional Service Contract with ACR Engineering. Ma'am, good evening.
Design of Zelensky Basin 2, which is the last of the water quality basins planned for Zelensky Lake. And so since that time, we've been working to develop a scope and fee, and those are attached for your consideration. But the major activities are project management, development coordination, which is a big item in this particular case because there's platted development immediately adjacent that's going on. Actually, a plat's already been turned into the city, and additional plats and with another developer right next to it. So that will be kind of a large effort in this case. There is also going to be a city park that's part of these developments and Zelensky 2 that's going on, and the city will have a separate parks planning contract, but there'll be coordination there as well. So that's a big part of this project. Another large part is the Corps of Engineers 404 permit. We will attempt to get a nationwide permit. However, this scope and schedule is for an individual permit, and the cost and the time would be adjusted if for some reason we were able to get a nationwide permit. This includes spillway alternatives, a complete and a final geotechnical evaluation is part of this phase, also conceptual design plans, I believe 30%, and then right-of-way assistance to move forward with a couple of land purchases as soon as we can because of that impending development. The total for this phase one, and then we're breaking this up as we have the other larger projects where we present phase one, which gets us through like the preliminary design level, permitting level, and then we'll have another contract for final plans and bidding, and then we'll have one for construction observation or administration, which would be a phase three. So the total for this phase one is $470,200. We recommend approval of the scope and schedule for the contract. Also, Lori Corrette Zook from HDR is here also if you have any questions. Otherwise, I'd be happy to try to answer anything.
Can we get a motion on the floor?
Approval of the recommendation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Anybody in the audience wish to make comment? Staff? Directors?
What is the total cost of all the phases?
It's $470,000. Oh, phase two and three. We will do those at a later date and scope those phases later.
Then
so
then what?
No, so we would still work with HDR, but once we get through this preliminary design phase, then we'll have a better idea of how much the scope will be for the final design, which is phase two. Once you get the final design plans done, you have an idea of what the construction administration will be.
Are we going to acquire these streams, right-of-ways for streams that run into it, or
so
it says potential stream mitigation in buffer zones?
Right. So the best map that we have right now that we've been using is the one that's attached, and that was part of an analysis that was done in 2008-09, and it did show some potential mitigation areas on the streams coming in, but we won't know what we need to do for mitigation until we get the plan kind of nailed down and get that worked out with the Corps for the permit. So although those areas are still, you know, maybe we will, but maybe we won't, need to do that mitigation.
But they are out of the dam impoundment area, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the reason downstream of the dam we have a mitigation area for?
Sometimes you can do mitigation on the downstream section of channel. Sometimes they'll allow that.
The downstream mitigation that you're referring to, is that does that involve any need, if any, measures, for instance, during the construction phase?
No, it doesn't. Those mitigation areas that are identified are really stream channel fill impact areas for the 404 permit, not necessarily for protecting Zirinsky. However, this project is subject to all of the same city rules for erosion and sediment control as far as keeping that sediment on site and inspections weekly and after rains, a half inch. I believe it's a half inch or more and weekly. So it's still subject to all of those same regulations to protect Zirinsky during the construction.
Another question there is referring back to the conversation we had with the basin developer who appeared here before the board. He's very willing to work with us and design our contractors who might this bid for park trails. Really, it sounded like it was a discussion. Has there been any discussion? Is there any preliminary ideas that discussed right now how the basin developer play a role here?
Yes, there has been. So the city of Omaha does have a 5-acre community park planned for that area. And the way that they finance those today is the surrounding SIDs, and I think it must be a certain distance or something. The surrounding SIDs have to put a plan together and share on the cost of that. So we've coordinated with the city and the SIDs, and the plan is for the city to kind of take a lead there and do that planning effort. They have a separate contract with another consultant that will involve, they certainly want a trail. This will be a little different than the Zirinsky one basin. They want a trail around the lake, and then there will be this like 5-acre park element that will have, you know, whatever features the community parks need to have, whether that's a playground or whatever. But the city will take the lead on planning that. We will certainly coordinate, and then the SIDs will pay for that.
Further questions? Seeing none, roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Bennett?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Chairperson?
Yes. That concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.
We'll go ahead and move right into the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. You heard earlier that the copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the back of the room and outside in the hall. With that, quorum call, please.
Fred Conley?
Here.
Leahy?
Here.
Teaser?
Here.
Thompson?
Director Fowler will be.
Eric Feller?
Please,
here.
And
John Conley.
Here. I have here a proof of publication of the meeting notice, and that'll become part of the permanent record of tonight's meeting. The first item for discussion is item 6, review and recommendation to the second amendment to the interlocal cooperative act agreement with Bellevue Rural Development.
You need the adoption.
Adoption
agenda.
Oh, well, thank you. Let's go back to the job agenda then. Thank you.
So moved.
Roll call, please.
Leahy?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes. Now we're ready for item 6, review and recommendation on the second addendum to the Interlocal Cooperative Act Agreement, Bellevue Riverfront Development, Jim Besick and Jeff Roberts with Bellevue Public Works. Jim?
Thank you. As you probably all know, we've worked very closely with the City of Bellevue for the last for a number of years, but at least the last 10 years on the riverfront development. The request today is for the City of Bellevue to expand the district's involvement and funding assistance with their riverfront development to add an additional $720,000 a year for 2 additional years, which would be a 50-50% cost share And I'd like to introduce Jeff, as John just did, Jeff Roberts. He'll be doing a brief presentation on what's been going on the Bellevue Riverfront and what the plans are for the future. And then it'll be open for comments, questions, whatever.
Well, thanks, everybody, for letting me sit before you this evening and present what we have, show you what we've been doing for the past few years. Brief history on this. We entered an interlocal agreement with the NRD in 2006, I believe we signed it, and then we had an amendment in 2009 for a total of $3.5 million split between the City of Bellevue and the Papiamusa River NRD. What I did is I put together a PowerPoint, kind of depicts where we started from and then where we're at today. And then I have a slide that kind of shows you what our the conceptual, what we want the park to finally end up being, and to give you an idea of what we're looking at and what you'd be partnering with us with. That I can just control it.
Give it a shot. Is that a nation?
Okay. When we first started this, it was called Kramer Park because of the Kramer Power Plant. But as years went by, City Council decided they wanted to rename the park, so we named it American Heroes Park. Part of that is because we do have a 9/11 memorial down there, which we have every year. There's a group that does this memorial every year, and it creates quite a bit of people down in there, and it's good for the community. This is the original Kramer plant. This was owned by the Nebraska Public Power District. Back in, I think, 2003 maybe, they went offline and sat there until they offered the City of Bellevue the opportunity to purchase all this property in the old building. This is what it was at that time. Once the building was taken down, they left this outtake structure. At the time, I'm not really sure why. I don't know if they had plans, but it actually ended up being a benefit to us, which I'll show you what's coming up in the future here. Actually, it's this year it's going to be constructed. But that's the old outtake structure. That's all that was left of the power plant. With the original agreement that we had, one of the first things we did was we created this nature and history trail on the north end of the park. It's approximately a mile loop. It goes along the river, then in through the wooded area. Part of it was also to create this kiosk that sits right on the river. It's got some interpretive signs that kind of give a little bit of history of the City of Bellevue. That's it, that overlooks the river. Also in this property, we had the old wastewater treatment plants, which we decommissioned in 2009. And since then, we've demoed it, and this is it now. It's just all green space, and this is to the south of where we have a lake constructed. And you can see in the background, that's the Bellevue Junior Sports Association football fields. They every fall, they have several teams that are down there anywhere from like 9 o'clock Sunday morning until up until 10 o'clock at night. One of the features we put in a couple years ago was this fountain aerator. This sits in the deepest part of the lake, which is approximately 16 feet deep. Actually, let me go back. If you look in the background, you can kind of see a bubbler right back in there. And so on that end, the north end of the lake, we also have some bubblers just to aerate, to keep water, air moving, to keep survival of the fish and aquatic life in it. Last year, we constructed this pier. It was just finished up last summer. And again, you can see the fountain in the background. This is called the Sanborn Grove, which was created in honor of Dave Sanborn, who was one of our former city councilmen, who was pretty much instrumental in helping to get all this established and the tree board and all that in the city of Bellevue. So this was named after him. This is just as you come into the park, it's right on the west side of the road. Again, we got that outtake structure. This is a rendering of what UNO, they're putting a river research station in here. This is meant for water monitoring, quality of water, so that they can go in, test the water. It's also going to be open up to the public to be able to go in and to walk out onto it, see the river from this perspective, and to see what type of research is done with it. They've got a contractor on board, and they should be starting any day now to start constructing this. And there are some future plans, too. I didn't put them in here. But phase 2 and 3 will actually have a taller type of structure, which stands about, I want to say it's about 30 feet tall. It'll have a lookout point on top of it so you can get a good perspective of that whole Missouri River basin. This, and I know it's sideways, but this is what the final conceptual is going to look like. Things that are completed today, we have the fountain, we have the lake, we have the levee around the lake, we got the pier. We do have this road. It's rocked right now. It's paved right up to about here. And so, again, that's some of the future things. Also in the future, we're looking at putting in a splash pad, playground, which would be right in this area. And then up in here is a nature kind of interpretive animal husbandry type of thing. This is where that, right up in here is where that north trail goes into it. So that's what the future layout is, what we're anticipating for this park. So with that being said, what we're looking at for 2016, this is phase 4, we're doing a trail around the lake. We'll be doing the south parking lot, which I'll go back to that one. The south parking lot is this down in here with the ADA entrance onto the pier. The roadway extension to the loop, that's what I told you, it's gravel now. It'll go up to that north trail. It'll stop just short of the loop. And then the south landscaping, everything to the south part of the park coming in the entrance. We want to have all that landscape to where we don't have to come back and do any more with that. So that'll be coming to the park where most of the people will be. That we want that to be complete, this phase of it. Total for this phase is $530,000. That's been budgeted and that's already in the works. We got a contractor on board to start as soon as they get a chance to mobilize. Phase 4 also has a three-phase power, which we're running for UNO up to the research station, which in the future we anticipate having an amphitheater, some public restrooms. There could be some other amenities that require the three-phase, but particularly the amphitheater will have to require that. And that's $80,000. That's above and beyond that $530,000 I just showed you. In 2017, Phase 4A, we want to complete the loop road, the north and the south parking. If I'll go back to those two again. That would be this parking and this parking. And that we have an estimated cost of $550,000. Also in 2017, we want to complete the west parking lot owned by BJSA, get the landscape. That's the large parking lot that's down towards the south end of the park. And that's estimated at $600,000. Then 2018, Phase 4B, we want to do the Heroes Plaza walkway. That's going to be the plaza next to the UNO's research station, and there'll be some interpretive signs, some different things that they have for that area set up, but it'll be a nice little walkway to be able to see. It'll have some more history kind of things for you to be able to look at. The Great Lawn and the West Trail. Actually, what I'll do is I'll go through these and I'll go back to that one, kind of point those out. The Lake Trail planning, Great Lawn, the roadway parking walkways, and the limestone edges, that's at $1.12 million. I'll just go back real quick again. So what that is these are the additional parking. This is the west parking that we're talking about. We have some trails that go around the green spaces, that Great Lawn. And then we want to complete all the rest of the plannings. And there's going to be some outcroppings in strategic areas on the lake. Basically, what those are for is so you don't have to use the pier to fish. You can just go out onto the lake edge, and you have a nice flat spot to be able to fish from. And I think I have one more slide. So total construction of all these three phases is $2.88 million, half of which the City of Bellevue is paying, half is what we're asking the NRD to participate in. Some other revenues that we're looking at, we can't apply for these until Labor Day. We're looking at the Nebraska Game and Parks, Bellevue Community Foundation, which we're hoping to maybe get up to $400,000, which would then also help to reduce the cost of what our partnership would be. But then again, that's in the future. We don't know if we're going to be eligible for that, but we're going to apply for these grants also. And that's what I got for you.
Okay, thank you. The chair would entertain a motion on this item.
Second.
All right. Is there one in the public now that wishes to speak? Directors? Director Leahy.
We have a few questions here. First off, it's an impressive project, especially thinking about where you've come from, a power plant and a wastewater treatment facility to this park. I have to imagine there was extensive environmental impact studies and a whole host of other mitigation mm-hmm. factors that went on for years. So I think it's impressive. A couple of just, I don't know if they're minor suggestions, if they will, but I hope the NRD, we push for these as part of the agreement before we sign it, is the only sign I saw is just sort of a basic City of Bellevue sign. And I would think if we've been a partner for this from 2006, we're going to continue to be a partner at 50-50, that we get some kind of in cooperation sign with our logo and what we've been doing. I just think that helps educate the public to what the NRD does. Another suggestion, if you will, or concern I have is it looks like a lot of parking that's happening in these next phases. And my concern is, all right, we as an NRD, we're just going to help out with some parking. And I don't know if that's just a lot of parking even for this park. I mean, maybe it gets packed on that day where you have the 9/11 tribute. But when I've been out that way on a Saturday and Sunday, and I don't make it all the way out to the park, but to downtown Bellevue, it's sort of a dead spot. Now, I think this park, improving it to this point, will help get more folks there, but I don't know if it's going to get that many parking spots filled. So I don't know if there's maybe some other things that we can do, some other amenities instead of parking we can do. And if we're going to do parking, as an NRD, maybe we can push for, you know, to make a pilot project out of, what do they call it, permeable parking or aspects like that. And I think we and the city can then apply to Nebraska Environmental Trust grants, as I think that that'd be something that they're interested in. And then there could be some kind of educational component, like you have the signs around the river, signs around the parking. So those are just my concerns. I mean, I support the project as a whole, but I just hope staff can push for that as part of the agreement or explore both of those things.
Director Jeff?
What is going to be due to alleviate the flooding in that area?
The pin's not working.
Well, as far as the flooding, the north side of the park where this is at, that was built up to the, for the most part, for the 100-year storm. The levee that goes around the lake is for a 100-year storm. The building, the BJSA buildings, those are for a 100-year. And there's some built-in detention areas that kind of surround the ball fields and on some of the low-lying areas. But for the most part, that park has been built out of the floodplain.
So when was it built out of the floodplain? Because I know the contractors that have been in there and built Kramer Park have gone in there and refurbished the ponds that were all silted up after that, and then we know about the flooding in 11.
Yeah, in 2011 when we had that flood, we didn't have the levee up on the lake yet, so that did get filled in. All the detention areas that were around were filled in. If you go on to the south side where Hayworth was, that was completely underwater. Mm-hmm. But Hayworth, or American Heroes, is built up higher than that. And so the hopes are that if there's any flooding, again, it comes in, goes right back out like it should, and not be a sustainable flood like we had in 2011.
Yeah. Other questions or comments? Director Teaser?
Yes. You mentioned when you have the map up there of the project, something about animals down the south end.
On the north end.
On the north end, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Could you go a little more detail on that?
Well, it's more just, again, more like interpretive kind of things. I think the intent was to have statues of different types of, I don't know, like deer, coyotes, you know, things like that. And then have the interpretive signs to kind of explain what they are, okay, you know, the whole species right, and all right. That, you know.
There's another hand on this way. Director Pollard.
My question kind of goes hand-in-hand with Director Leahy. I was concerned about how much parking there was. I was curious if you've done any studies on what you have today as your traffic, your usage patterns, and what you expect when this build-out is done and what kinds of people are using that. As you say, you got football teams and so forth using it right now. I'm just curious on that.
Yeah, actually, that's a good segue back because I wanted to respond to some of your comments there. As far as the parking goes, it has been sized based on the traffic we get during the fall when the kids have the football games. Right now, they don't have the parking staged the way it should be, so it's kind of a free-for-all because it's just gravel. And so then they line the roads. They line should have kept that up there. But they'll line the road all the way from the entrance all the way past where that dedicated parking is. So we do anticipate that primarily in the fall to be full. Once the research center and the area gets built up to the north with an amphitheater, we expect those parking lots to be used quite a bit also. And then the very south end, which we're doing this year, will take care of the people fishing at the lake. And it's also going to be set up to where you can walk from there over to Hayworth Park, so you can go underneath the river bridge. And we're hoping that just generates traffic back and forth there also.
Sure.
As far as the large lot, we are looking at that for being impervial pavement. We've already looked at that and researched it. I think that's a good area to put a test place in, so we do have that on the radar. The signs go, I think at one time we had a sign that had, and it should still be up there, I have to look and see, but it does mention the Natural Resource District and partnering with it.
Also, if you got that much traffic out there right now, do you have portable potties out there, or are you just, you mentioned you got filled out some of it.
The BJSA actually has indoor plumbing, and so that's, but we do intend to put restrooms on the north end also once this is all built out.
Okay. One last question. Since you do have the UNO research station there, or research station on the river,
Have you applied to anything with the university, as a, i.e. a grant for funding as well, and are you applying for other grants on top to enhance that?
We haven't approached UNO about any grants right now. Going through the whole research station, there wasn't a lot of opportunity. What we contributed was out of our general fund, so that's how we're paying for the electro. That was our participation with them, and plus the land to give them to be able to build it on. Besides the Gaiman Parks, right now that's the only one we're looking at, and the Bellevue Community Foundation.
Thank you.
Are you done, Tim?
I'm done.
I want to echo what I'm going to speak first. I want to echo what Director Leahy said about signage. I feel if we're a 50-50 partner, we need to be a 50-50 partner on every sign. Anywhere it says the city of Bellevue, we ought to be on there with equal partnership, because we're paying half the money for this thing.
Yeah, and that's
and
no
I,
problem.
Even the sign that you showed, I felt slighted by it. And I hope you take that to heart.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely we'll make sure you're included on everything we put down there.
Thank you. Director, T.C.
Gaiman Parks is already stocked away?
Yeah, they started maybe 2012, I think they brought the first. There's crappie, bullheads, I think catfish, and bluegill, I think, are the four they put in there.
Thank you.
Yes, Director Wink.
We're not going to make you manager. Okay.
Manager. Yes. So just a couple of clarifications for the board. The additional funds you get from other funding sources, say Gaiman Parks, that comes off of our contribution to the project. Correct?
That's our intent, correct.
So it doesn't you still pay the same as the city of Bellevue and ours gets reduced accordingly.
Correct.
Okay. Of the $2.8 million, how much of that is parking? Half or roughly.
Let's see, I got some numbers here. I would say probably, from the looks of this, about 400,000.
Okay. So it's safe to say that our contributions will solely go toward the other amenities like trails, landscaping, recreation, those type of things that we are that we can fund.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say?
Yeah, let me update. I think it's closer to 800,000 because the one alone was 600,000.
Okay. So. And then per every agreement, also for the board's information, every agreement we sign that we cost share, there is a provision in there that the applicant has to sign it that the NRD is a contributor. And then so we'll make sure that all of those signs are that meet that agreement and that in fact are installed during the project. So
thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Caesar?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes. That concludes this item. Thank you for being here. You don't have to stay for the rest of the meeting if you have other things to do. It's going to be a lengthy agenda.
Thanks, John.
Thank you for your time.
Next item is a review and recommendation on the amendment to the Sport Fishing Restoration Grant with Nebraska Game and Parks for Dam Site 15A. Lori Laster and Steve Satin. If I pronounced that right?
Satcher, yes. And he is not able to be here tonight. He was planning on it. So it's just me. Can you go to the PowerPoint that I gave you, Bill? So as you all know, Papio Dam Site 15A is under construction. We had our official groundbreaking in October, and we've been moving kind of full speed ahead lately. I just wanted to share a few pictures to kind of give you an update on the project. Gaiman Parks did take some aerial photographs in December of last year, so I'll just point out a few things here. This is Fort Street, and we are looking north. This is the main channel of the stream. This is the main dam right here, or will be when it's completely full. This is our diversion channel right now, and this is the principal spillway through the dam will be right here. The boat ramp and parking lots will be in this area right here. This will be HWS Cleveland Boulevard eventually. And you can kind of see some of these little riprap areas and some of these ponding areas. Those are the fisheries enhancements. Got a few pictures. This is a little bit better picture of the main dam embankment and the diversion channel here. This is Ida Street, and we're looking kind of towards the northeast here. These are fishery enhancements that we've excavated out, and we had a lot of rain in December, which is a little unusual, so they kind of held some water over the winter. But those are areas that have been excavated to kind of provide some varying depth. And then that helps the fish habitat. Steve can explain that a little bit more than I can, but he's not here today. And then we have these structures will be in the bottom of the lake. We're looking straight down on the main channel here. These are called rock stars. And then we've got these other areas where they've pushed dirt up, put some riprap in, so they don't want a nice, smooth, graded bottom. They want it to be really rough and a lot more natural. So we've got all of these features in here. These rock stars right here are essentially piles of dirt, trees, and rocks. We had a lot of extra trees that had to come down. We did take some from the Zirinsky Basin 1 project rather than take those to a landfill. We brought them out to this site so we could use those in the fishery enhancements. They kind of build up a little mound of dirt and stick the trees in and then cable them down and put some rock on top so they kind of stay there. You can see them a little bit better here. And they're spread out all through the lake. Again, this is Ida Street. So, yeah, just a few pictures. So we did receive a grant from Nebraska Game and Parks. We estimated $1.4 million in eligible expenses. It is a 75-25 cost share. We have to provide the 25%. So we were awarded $1.1 million in federal funding. The rock stars, we actually ended up with way more trees than we thought. And Steve was kind enough to find us some extra funding in the amount of $25,000. We will have to provide 8,334 to make up that 25%. But we will be using that money to, instead of installing 40 of these, we'll have 84 total. As well as we're taking some sanitary sewer pipe from the Thompson Creek Levee project that would otherwise go to a landfill. And again, making more fish structures out of that. So we will be using that money there. And in order to get that grant money, we did have to amend our agreement with Game and Parks. And so I can answer any questions on that.
Chair to entertain a motion on this item.
A motion for staff recommendation.
Second. Yeah, motion is second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none,
I'm pretty impressed with the fishery work that's been done. That's very, very impressive.
Yeah, we've been able to do quite a bit out there. So, and then hopefully we can stretch this just a little bit more, and we'll cram as much as we can in there for the 34,000.
On the structures you built, will those show up on the topo maps of the lake?
Yes.
Those are nice.
Yeah. So, and that the preliminary survey for the lake bottom has been completed. Certainly, there's a few more features we got to get in there, but most of that work is done. So, I believe on Friday they closed the principal spillway drawdown, so cutting off the diversion channel so we can start filling up on the main dam embankment a little bit further.
Good, thank you. Director Bonner.
What's the diameter of those sewer pipes? How big are they? Or bearing?
Martin, 27 inch.
27 inch. What's the material?
Concrete. So they'll basically stand up kind of
like a tent structure in a circle.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. That concludes that item. You've got the next one. Here is review and recommendation on interlocal agreement with the Village of Arlington for the Arlington Floodplain Buyout Program. Again, Lori,
okay.
Do you have somebody with you on this one?
I do not. Again, not a good night, apparently, for a lot of people. I got an email about 10 o'clock last night that something came up for Paul Kopp, who's going to be here with the Village Board of Arlington. There are several properties on the east side of Arlingtonville. Can you go to the map, please? That have been affected by flooding repeatedly. These properties do meet FEMA's definition for repetitive loss or severe repetitive loss, basically meaning that they have multiple flood insurance claims. So they qualify for federal funding. They're on FEMA's priority list for that. The village approached us to start a buyout program. We're looking at two houses for privacy reasons. They're in this general vicinity right here, the floodplain of Bell Creek. And so we are looking at approximately a $200,000 project. FEMA funding would cover at least 75%. One structure is eligible for 100% FEMA funding because of the severe nature of the flooding losses it has received. The other property may be eligible for 90% FEMA funding, but at a minimum, we would get 75% if our application were approved. Excuse me. So we have an agreement before you with the Village Board. The district would act as the project sponsor and apply for FEMA's Flood Mitigation Assistance Program. And we would manage the project, complete the purchases. The village would reimburse us half of all of the non-federal portion. And then they would take ownership and maintenance of those lots. We would not be having to go out there and check on them at all or anything. They are next to the village park. There's ball fields and a park and a walking trail right here that are very close to the homes. So they will be able to maintain those much better than we can. So we do recommend approval of the agreement. And I can answer any questions.
Chair, and entertain a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second. Motion the second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? Seeing none. Directors? Director Brown.
How did staff come to the conclusion that instructors be my program?
That information came from the village board. At least one of the individuals has approached the village on multiple occasions over the last several years, asking them. They were aware of the program and repeatedly asked the village to participate in this program. So they, like I said, they have very severe flooding losses. One property, I believe, floods almost every year, and they are very interested in selling.
We've done better. Lori, you mentioned something about the sites being confidential. I think we always, in the past, have bought sites. They bring a purchase order to it, and we've never approached these on a confidentiality basis.
Right.
That's why we're doing it today.
Yes. At this point, because of the nature of FEMA's severe repetitive loss list, we won't say that. In the future, if we do get the grant and we do move forward with the project, it would still be the same. We'd have the purchase agreement would be public record and the address and all of that. But until that point, because it is on this list that FEMA has, I don't even have the list. I don't have access to that. We have to get that information from the state.
It's kind of shadowy, isn't it?
I guess I do that.
Anybody else down? I see another hand on that. No. Director Bonnet.
Go ahead.
I guess this is kind of a general question for these buyout programs, which are really not a. The properties that have repetitive costs, they usually have repetitive history claims.
Yes.
How does the owner still retain?
In many cases, they're not able to sell the property.
They get the claim, the property's paid off, insurance carrier doesn't ownership. Isn't there, there's usually a trade-off, like nothing can be rebuilt. Why are these constructed buildings?
Well, I guess I don't follow your question. I mean, it's no different than any other, like, you know, if you have a, you know, roof damage from hail on a home, you know, there's no, certainly your deductibles are going to go up and all of that with your normal insurance policy, but there's no requirement that, you know, five times and you're, we're not going to pay it anymore. As long as you're paying your flood insurance, you know, it's like any other insurance policy. As long as they continue to pay those premiums and it floods, then they get that payout.
I haven't asked the right question. More.
Anybody else wish to comment?
Yes. There's other areas of Arlington that are in the floodplain. Why aren't they being considered?
Well, at this point, these are the properties that we know are interested. Again, this is kind of all of that work has taken place with the village board. They have proposed the properties to us. We have not contacted property owners. We didn't start a mass program at this point. So, you know, in the future, certainly we could look at other areas, but at this point, these are the properties the village wants to focus on.
So, not knowing anymore, more than likely these are willing buyer, willing sellers are already.
It has to be, yes.
Well, I know it has to be, but I was concerned that we keeping it the people anonymous, so these people that are in the potential buyout don't know about it. But is that
no? They know about it. They have requested that the village bring forth this project.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions?
Just another note: the maximum we're looking at is $25,000. The district's expenditure on this. If FEMA does in fact rule that they are repetitive at 100% and 90%, it could be as less as $5,000.
Yes.
So.
Thank
you. You have time?
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, who gets the appraisals? FEMA? Is it to Arlington? The homeowner has
it'll
be
us. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
We do.
Mm-hmm. That's project sponsor.
Other questions? Roll call on the motion.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Now, item 9 is review and recommendation on bids for the Elkhorn Crossing Recreation Area Improvements. Amanda Grant, please.
Hi again. Bill, can we go to the map, please?
Just give you a very brief update on this project. So Elkhorn Crossing is on the Elkhorn River, about 252nd and Bennington Road. And over the last maybe, 8 years or more, there's just been a ton of work done out there by the district. And it's really beautiful. A lot of clearing of trees and just a lot of maintenance and updating the park. And there's camping and, of course, the river access. So a plan, because of the camping and the use of that park, the plan was to put a playground in at this location. That was the original plan, and there was about $150,000 budgeted to do that. And then if you remember, a while back, the board approved a Nebraska Environmental Trust application where we put together, we were trying to match the money that we had in the budget and get some additional dollars and put together this really cool themed type park, because that is about the general location of the Settlers of Mormon community as they crossed going west. And so we really had this theme going with the covered wagon and all of these really awesome features. However, it was not funded by the Nebraska Environmental Trust. And so, I know, it's very disappointing. But we were back kind of to our original plan of the $150,000 playground structure. And so last week we opened bids for that project, and attached is the summary bids. We had two bids. They ranged from $172,562 to $136,800, and that was the a lump sum base bid and then an alternate one. These numbers were both companies, Lawn Smith and Dostal's, both companies that we worked with in the past, both good companies. So no problem on either of those. And bids were, the low bid of Dostal was $136,800, which the engineer's estimate was $156,200 for both the base with the alternate. So we were really happy with the bids. So we're recommending that we execute a contract with Dostal's for the base bid plus the alternate for $136,800. A couple of notes. One thing we did find going through looking for additional grants, and we're still going to keep on that and try to find, there's some game and parks things and some others we need to look into, but one thing we did find was the Nebraska Department of Environmental Quality will reimburse that play surfacing. So the playground has that really spongy rubber surfacing, and it's made with recycled Nebraska tires, and so they will reimburse 25% of the cost of the surfacing. So we did get that application in, and we should hear any time about that grant. So we do have a little bit of money coming in for that. And then also just to mention, the alternate is what I would call merry-go-round, but they call it, I think, a little spinner or something. But it's for little kids. It's kind of another target for the play equipment is, you know, a certain age level. This kind of targets a little bit younger kids. It's also handicap accessible. So we thought probably a good fit, and it was within our budget. So that's why we're recommending that.
Thank you. The chair would entertain a motion on this item.
Move staff recommendation.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors?
Director Leahy. Just thinking outside the box with the idea for the theme, which I think is great. Have we contacted the Church of Latter-day Saints for them to get award? I mean, I know that I grew up in Florence, and they're pretty involved with the cemetery and the shrine out that way. And so I know they have deep roots in this community and the resources available to do something like that. So it may be something that they...
Yeah, thank you. You know, we thought about that and haven't, but you know what we have now is this whole package put together of what that could look like and all the details and a cost estimate. So we really have a packet to kind of sell to people or, you know, show around and see if they're interested. So we will definitely look into that.
Well, if I could, I have two comments. Pat, the Church of Latter-day Saints did work at the actual site where the crossing was, which is actually about 3/4 mile south downriver from this, and they tried to actually buy some of the property where the actual wheels were still, you can still see the trail in the ground. Unfortunately, a new landowner bought it, and he bulldozed it all over, and it was ruined forever, and they lost interest. The other thing, Bill, could we show those shots? I took a couple of shots today. Here we have, we have 22 campsites, and you can see a swing set. Go ahead to the next one, Bill. That is the only recreation we have for kids in this entire campsite, a set of swings. And, you know, we have campers coming down there with their children, and, you know, how long can the kids swing? They want, and they're asking me and they're asking us for additional entertainment. You know, the parents want to have some private time, too. And so this is one of the reasons why I'm supportive of this, because, this is that spongy, coating that you're talking about, the rubber. But, we get a tremendous amount of people up there, and the kids just don't have a lot to do. And so...
The kids, there's some sticks there, I see.
What's that?
Some sticks and some weeds.
So.
That's right.
A river.
Talk to Lori about some of that sewer pipe.
You done, Rick?
Make sure it's clean.
And I've got a question on the elevation of the improvements that we're paying for into this. Are they going to be elevated so they won't get wiped out at the first flood?
They will not. So the playground is basically a paired type system, though. You know, you just try to minimize, and so we look at that and consider when we kind of pick out the play pieces, and they're generally just up on posts, but no, it's not elevated.
Well, and the new play article is made of a material that you can be submerged in water for months, and you simply wash it off, and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
There's no rotting. There's no,
That recreation, that swing set was underwater for several weeks, and 3 foot deep, and no damage.
We don't get ice back in there because of the trees. Yeah. That's good. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Shepherdson?
Yes. next item is review on bids for the Big and Little Papio Channels, L Street Bridges, Trail Stabilization Project. Zach Nelson.
Good evening. As many of you know, if you use a lot of our trails, we have issues underneath a lot of our bridges just due to the fact that vegetation can't grow, so it causes erosion issues, which can then also lead into the channel and cause deterioration of the levee. Not only does it also then create a safety risk of sediment or mud on the trail for someone to wipe out when they're running or on their bike. So last year, the district, we repaired areas of the Keystone Trail under the Highway 370, K-Part, and I-80 bridges. The design utilized the curb and gutter system just to collect the runoff and channel the runoff into storm sewer inlets, as well as kind of block the sediment from washing down down the slope. So based on the success we've had at those locations, we identified two additional locations that are underneath the L Street bridges near 77th Street and 62nd Street over the Little and Big Papio Creeks. Lamprey Nearson completed the survey and did engineering work for us. Their original engineer's estimate was $106,484. Bids were opened on April 5th at 10 a.m. A total of three bids were received. Bayshore Construction provided a bid of $155,723. They are the apparent low bidder. However, it should be noted that due to construction in front of the office, their bid arrived 2 minutes late. I was out of the office on that day, but they called into the office, notified the receptionist, obviously the construction that they're running late, came in, and it appears after reviewing their bid form and just the timing of everything, there wasn't a, I guess for lack of a better term, someone standing outside the door and scribbling in lower prices. That simply isn't the case here. So with that being said and given the circumstances, management staff, we're still recommending to the subcommittee that you recommend to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Bayshore Construction to make the repairs on the Big and Little Papio channels under the L Street bridges in the amount of $155,723.
I'll move your staff recommendation. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
I'd like to ask before we have public comment, has our attorneys reviewed this recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you're satisfied with it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors?
The second bid, how much higher were they?
Believe it was approximately $14,000,
$15,000.
And then the third bid was $232,879, so significantly higher.
Right. Who was the second bid?
Emmy Collins.
And they're aware that the other bid came in late?
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions by directors or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Shepherdson?
Yes. Now we go into a review of recommendation on 2017 urban cost share programs. And I'll ask because of the magnitude of these items and numerous items in here, that you be brief in your presentations. Please don't be repetitive. Give us just the highlights, and let's try to keep this moving.
Okay.
I wasn't just aiming that at you, Laura.
Okay. Well, he has the shortest one, probably.
Right. Mine will be very short. Eric, I don't know. All right. So Stormwater Best Management Practices Program, this is a management approval program, but we did want to update you on applications received. For this last year, we had only one application at Northwest High School. If you saw the news, this high school was awarded $20,000 from Samsung for their innovative design. This is that project, and they do wish to start constructing, so we did approve $5,000 for that. For fiscal year 17, we received two applications, one from the City of Omaha at Dundee Elementary. They actually have a very large kind of outdoor classroom project, and they'll be looking at rain barrels, rain gardens, permeable pavement, interpretive signage, several practices in that area that fit the program goals. So they are requesting $5,000 there. And UNO at the new Barbara White's Community Engagement Center, they have a couple areas that they have some drainage issues. They kind of drain on a lot of sidewalk runoff and right into combined sewer. So they are looking at working with their, let's see, let me get this class, Introduction to Sustainable Landscape Design class. That class is actually working on a project on UNO. They would like to construct it, and they have requested $5,000. And then next page, Bill, please. Under the Flood Mitigation Planning and Mapping Assistance Program, we received two applications from the City of Blair. This is a program that kind of helps people look at either mitigation planning or updating flood maps. They have two areas in the City of Blair, South Creek. Can you go to the maps, please? A lot further. Keep down. Keep going. All right. So they have this floodplain that they are looking to do a letter of map revision through FEMA. It was updated in 2012, but the model is kind of, I don't want to say it's faulty, but there are a lot of a lot of areas that are questionable that just from engineering judgment looking at the map. And then so this is Cobble Creek that runs through Blair. And if you can go to the very last map, Bill. And then this is technically this is Unnamed Creek, but they call it South Creek. As you can see, again, we don't have a lot of confidence in this model. This is a very wide floodplain and that they are hoping they can get some more detailed modeling and maybe remove a few houses. Can you go back to the memo, please? So they submitted two applications under this program. It is a 50-50 cost share up to a maximum of $50,000. For Cobble Creek, we're looking at a district share of $35,525. For South Creek, we would be looking at a district share of $42,185. One item to note, the program guidelines do require that they apply for and receive federal funding for these projects. However, because they are very small projects, the burden of applying for those federal funds is far greater than what we would actually spend doing the project. So we are requesting that that requirement be waived for these applications. And with that, I can take any questions.
The chair to entertain a motion on these items.
Move the staff recommendation.
Is that a second?
Second.
Okay. Anybody in the public wish to speak? Directors?
Director Lake.
For the stormwater practices program, Why is the city of Omaha applying and not Omaha Public Schools or Dundee Elementary?
I think Dundee Elementary applied to the city of Omaha, and they're kind of working on that together.
And then who did the city of Blair match the first time?
A firm called Kirk & Michael.
Was that through us? Did they get program funding the first time through us? And it?
It's a little before my time.
I don't know. We hired the contractor. Okay. We were involved.
Are we hiring this contractor this time, or they are? City of Blair.
Blair is hiring. They are proposing to use FIRA Engineering this time.
You done? I'd like to follow up on that. What gives us an indication that some of the prior work was not accurate?
Can you go back to the flood maps, Bill? One big reason is that nobody can find the actual models. FEMA doesn't have them. The city doesn't have them. We had requested them from Kirk & Michael. They don't have them. So that does pose a problem, you know, especially on South Creek here. You know, there's some bridges over there. In the event that any bridge work had to be done, somebody would have to recreate that model anyway. When you look at the floodway, which is kind of hard to see on these maps.
That's Cobble Creek here, isn't it?
Yes, Cobble Creek here. So when you look at the floodway and it kind of these outages and stuff like that, the first thing I think of is that they didn't go in and refine the model. You know, you can put data in a model and hit run, and anybody can do that, but computer software does have its limitations, and there is some kind of just common sense knowledge that you have to use to kind of apply. And so when you see floodways that go way out of the channel like that and then right back in, that tells me there might be something wrong with the bridge routine that they use there. You know, whether this changes or not, I don't know, but we would have at least a scientifically sound model that they could use in the future for any kind of road work that they would do here and here.
You have to be a little careful to say that it was wrong. There's new modeling techniques as time goes on. There's new software. There's new data. There's new information. And so it's just technology and all that information.
Yeah.
So to say that at that time, it's probably the best they could do, but now if you look at it, it's a little bit hindsight, 2020, say it's wrong. It may be, but they didn't know that at the time.
That's exactly right. And, you know, another thing, too, is that we just don't know. We don't know what they use. We don't, because we don't have the model. So it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, maybe it is right, but we just don't know that.
Director Lee, I mean, it could backfire on them, right? It could show maybe even a greater footprint, right?
Yep.
I mean, I just want to make sure this outcome isn't predetermined. If we're going out
there, right, right. No, they have not started any analysis on this one yet. I think on South Creek, they did do a preliminary estimate from, and I believe they went from about 90 structures to 14 structures they were showing in the floodplain. But again, that's preliminary, and until it's final and FEMA accepts it, you just don't know.
Who has the responsibility for maintaining the records of the model and the ability to bring it up in a year or two after it's delivered? The software is not owned by the client, not owned by
right.
the NRD.
No, if that is ultimately FEMA's responsibility to keep that data on hand to back up. I mean, because these are their maps, and these are what they base flood insurance requirements and floodplain regulations on. And if they don't have the data, you know, it is ultimately their responsibility.
Thank you. They lost their homework.
The dog ate it.
The dog ate it.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing that, roll call, please.
Leahy?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you. Your turn next. You got off pretty easy.
Good evening. Do we want to take a break first? There are five additional urban cost share programs. All of the programs are sent out in the same letter each year. This year, to help streamline that process, we moved to a digital fillable PDF form, so that helped cities in completing the application and helped us in receiving them, so the applications are getting cleaner. Next year, we hope to take it to an entirely digital process where we don't end up with lots of paper. That, again, helps streamline things on both sides, makes our record keeping a little easier. So we did distribute the complete PDF. It was posted digitally over the weekend, but we did not include the 191-page printout in your packets. You have the memo that highlights the some description of each of the projects, as well as the total cost and cost share requested, but it does not have the attachments. We do have the complete attachment packet on the PDF on the screen, and I have a paper copy if anybody wants to look at one, but hopefully this will help keep things moving along a little bit more quickly. For the Urban Conservation Assistance Program, Douglas County has applied for the health center on the east slope of the property. This is kind of draining down from 42nd Street by Woolworth down towards the Field Club Trail. They have some water running off of a parking lot, and they'd like to put in some stabilization to help prevent additional erosion there and avoid any of the issues that they have been happening in the past. Fort Calhoun at the city park. You know what, can you skip to the application so we can kind of look at some stuff while we talk about it? They have the written version, so if you open the bookmarks on the PDF, I think it should be able to jump between each of the applications. If you go to the next, all right. If you go to the other tab, the bookmarks tab, the up and left, there you go. I'm hoping that, there you go. Now you can click on each of the applications, so click on Fort Calhoun. Okay, so Fort Calhoun. This one is for a small creek that they have running down the middle of the park. It's currently dividing the park in half and making it kind of inaccessible to get from one side of the park to the other and a little bit difficult to maintain. So they would like to level that out a little bit flatter, up to a 5-to-1 slope. There's the park location. And that will make it both easier to maintain and make more of the park area accessible. We'll also replace a head wall on one of the culverts coming out from under 15th Street. So in general, it's drainage maintenance in the city park to make everything a little easier to maintain in the future. We did receive an application from the Village of Herman, two different applications, but this one is to help with drainage from farmland to the west of the park. Get the next page is the map. So you can see there's a number of acres of farmland over there. Apparently the use type on the farmland has changed a little bit recently to more of a industrial agricultural type of row cropping, and that's causing additional drainage to run off to the east and into the city park. So they'd like to build a little berm to help prevent some of the drainage from getting into the park and get it down south to the creek that's flowing to the east and get that drainage, keep it away from both the park and the other properties in the area there. Metropolitan Community College has applied for a bioretention facility. They have a pretty significant expansion going on their Fort Omaha campus right now. So it's a number of new buildings, additional parking. It's essentially bringing the Fort Omaha campus all the way down to Sorenson. So you can see all the way over from the boulevard entrance they have, everything over to the east is now being constructed, except for the small car wash, which somehow held out. I don't know what happened there, but there's a small car wash in the middle of Metro's North Campus now. So at the location of the pin, all of the new parking area drains down through a bioretention garden. This will help to improve, reduce some of the peak runoff from the parking lot and the buildings, and also improve the water quality before it goes into the storm sewer. If you get the next page, Bill, maybe one more or two more, I guess. These are some of the plans for that location. One more, maybe. This one, okay, so this one actually shows the intended finished outcome of the facility. Their budget is going to allow them to basically just construct sloped sides and then have basically a little pool to hold the water. They would like to take that up and include some additional organic material, have better plants, so they would have plugs for the plants, which have a much better establishment rate and will provide better water quality improvement as opposed to just broadcast seeding, which doesn't do quite as much, doesn't have all of the benefits to the water quality component of their bioretention facility. So I happened to meet with them just 2 days before the applications were due, and they were discussing this project. And I said, you know, we've got a good program. We can provide assistance. We'd like to help you get this complete. It should be a really nice demonstration project of water quality improvements in an urban area. The city of Omaha has applied in the Raven Oaks area. They're having erosion along a small drainageway coming out of the neighborhood. And so the stormwater pipe is destabilized and the channel slopes. So they're going to do some regrading. If you can scroll down a little bit to the next page. So this is an example of basically an unmaintained drainageway coming out of a little subdivision. You can see there's a corrugated metal pipe that's coming out into the creek, and significant amounts of the bank have eroded away, and so they'll come back in and restabilize this to prevent any additional damage in the area. Sarpy County has applied. This is some preliminary work along the South Papio, so 168th Street, which some people might have gotten a chance to take this evening. Just to the west of 168th Street and on the north side of the railroad, the South Papio Creek is actually flowing to the north. It flows up and turns right and goes under 168th Street. And it's the banks of South Papio are destabilized through most of the reach. And in this area, there's a few places where it's getting fairly close to the slope from the viaduct on 168th Street. So behind the guardrail, they've got some silt fence out there now to help slow down water and prevent erosion. This is expected to be a preliminary application where they would do some early survey and engineering work. But they do expect to apply for an urban drainage way program in this location in the future. So they're going to go out and do some kind of emergency repair work to prevent any damage from happening to the road or even down by the bridge. And then also figure out what is the long-term solution here to stabilize this area and make sure that South Papio doesn't threaten 168th Street on that west side. SID 380 in Douglas County is Cherry Ridge. So here's a map. It's on Ida Street, just northwest of I-680. And there's a creek running through the backyards that kind of divides Ida Street on the east from the rest of the neighborhood on the west. Amanda and I went out and visited this location in December or January. There was some significant erosion through the backyard of a couple homes. There was a big tree that fell over. It had been stabilized in the bank. It's now caused pretty significant erosion through a couple backyards. And with large rain events, they expect that more of that would happen in the future. So they'd like to go out and use either gabion baskets or a kind of a modular concrete block wall to restabilize the east side of the creek there and then reestablish the backyards. The SID probably was not following the setback guidelines that we have now because they were probably not established at that time. And so they are pretty close. If you were to use the 3-to-1 setback, it would draw basically back to the back of the foundation of the house. And so the backyards are well within the danger zone of the creek. So they'd like to restabilize that and then just prevent any future damage to those houses and those backyards or other areas. SID 503 is also in Douglas County, and that's Silverleaf Estates near about 190th and Hamilton. And let's see, can you scroll up a little bit? There's a map that shows the location here. Might be the previous page. Maybe it's the next page. There we go. So this is the West Papio Creek is on the north side there. And so they have a similar type of situation as the last SID. It's a creek that hasn't had very much maintenance work done in the past, and they've got some bank erosion that's threatening the backyard of one of the properties, and they'd like to stabilize that to prevent future damage to any of the adjacent properties. So the table on the next page of your memo highlights all of the projects. The total cost for all of the projects is something like $529,324, and the total cost share is $207,384. So we are getting quite a bit of work completed, and the program is leveraging additional investment in water quality and stabilization improvement, which is the intention of the project. So we recommend that these projects be approved for a total of $207,384, subject to funding in the FY 2017 budget.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Director Leahy.
I know I saw something broken record, but the signs, is there going to be signs to some of these, especially the Douglas County project and the Fort Calhoun project? Are we going to have, is that part of these agreements?
I don't think that the Urban Conservation Assistance Program guidelines does require a sign to be placed. A lot of these are smaller projects that aren't really publicly visible. The larger projects, the Urban Drainage Way Program projects are next, and those do come with signage, and so we do get recognition on those because there is usually some description of what's happening. So on most of these, Metropolitan Community College will have some signage, and they will include us there, but a lot of these are kind of in backyards that you wouldn't ever really be able to visit. They're not publicly accessible, so we don't require signage on those projects. We could ask in some of them. You said Fort Calhoun.
In Douglas County, I mean, the concern mm-hmm. with those are two government entities or whatever you want to call it, that in recent history the board has had, for whatever reason, I won't get into that, our relationship has frayed. So I think if we're going to be doing these kinds of projects, which are good projects, maybe this is the first step in repairing those frayed relationships on those.
Yeah, I would guess that Douglas County, Fort Calhoun, Herman, Metropolitan Community College, and SERPY would all be likely partners for signage at those locations. Omaha and the two SIDs, probably no one will be there, so we probably won't ask or expect any signage on those.
I have one other question about the drainage in the village of Herman. So a farmer changes practices and all the water is now causing a problem for their city. Is the landowner have any kind of responsibility or skin in the game to hold some of that water or slow down the rate at which that water is starting to ruin their city park? I mean, I'm no farmer, but typically I always hear when the water's on a farmer's land, he owns that water. He wants it. Now all of a sudden he doesn't want that much water, so, you know, I've changed my techniques. The water's flowing elsewhere. This is none of my concern, even though it's causing a problem down the way a little bit. So that project sort of concerns me. I'm not going to pull it now, but I'd like to get some clarification and answers before this comes back around during the budget time.
Yep. The description indicates that it was formerly pasture lands, and it, quote, wasn't bad. Now it is corn or beans, and it has changed, and now will flood into the park. So I don't know that there's any legal responsibility. We could look into that, and Terry might be able to help with that. That would be he does a lot more of the world
stuff. There's not a legal responsibility. I mean, maybe terracing, or, I mean, we have those kinds of programs, maybe just out of a sense of community that they would come to the table to maybe help solve the problem before it becomes a problem for the city of Herman. But keep the water on their land.
We'll look into that.
I have a question about the Douglas County site.
Uh-huh.
Is that relatively new construction that created the problem? And if so, why wasn't the county required to address that when they did their project?
So I think it's a new parking lot. Their description, parking lot renovation altered some drainage patterns, resulted in concentrated runoff. So this is probably an example where they didn't use stormwater best management practices on their new parking lot construction, and they realize now that they should have. That probably is something they should have done, and I think this is now a corrective action because they didn't. I guess they probably didn't do drainage calculations in the parking lot when they made that when they did that renovation.
Does anyone care to make an amendment to this recommendation? None. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Comment.
Huh? Director Teaser.
I may be aging myself here a little bit back, but back when General Manager Oatman was hired, we used to put in Omaha some signage when the construction was going on And I see no reason why we couldn't do that with some of these other. If we don't have permanent signs, at least get some signs there during the construction. And, maybe they're only there for 60 to 90 days, but, people can see it. And I know we used to do that because I remember, I can't tell you where, but I remember seeing it. And I just think it might be a good idea. But, for what's that worth. And Fred, that car wash isn't yours, is it? Mm-hmm.
We decided to add that as an attraction to get Any other comments or questions?
Yes.
Director Jeff.
The on the west side of Herman, who are the landowners or the farmers involved in that?
That wasn't included in the application, and we didn't.
Can you find that out by
Thursday? I can look into it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Director Bonnet.
Eric, how does staff, or maybe John, how does staff keep track of these applications year after year? Is it possible to query the total number of projects from these entities, dollar amount they requested?
From here, yeah, we can see what we funded in years past.
If it's easy, I'd like to see some of the public entities, especially Douglas County and Sarpy County, since the last 4 years.
You should have a record, man.
Yeah, that should be pretty easy. As they get a little older, some of the records aren't quite as good. 4 years. A table of all of the projects from Douglas and Sarpy.
From each entity, what we funded. A total, or do you want the individual project? You want a total? Or
maybe total number of projects.
And then the
number of applications.
The
number of applications that were approved. I'd like to see just what they applied for.
Anything else for anybody? Roll call on the motion, please.
Fowler?
Yes.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, moving ahead.
The next is the Urban Drainage Way Program. So this is similar types of channel stabilization work. But larger projects, they come in three different levels of cost share. Level 1 is 75%, level 2 is 60%, and level 3 is 40%. This year we don't have any new applications that are not in the level 3 category. We do have one ongoing project from last year, which is the Hell Creek project by Westwood Lane. This is year 2 of 3 of that interlocal agreement, so we will fund $300,000 towards the concrete channel liner removal. That's similar to what was done at Rockbrook Creek. We went out and visited the Hell Creek project, and it looks great. They've done probably three-quarters of the work at this point, so they'll finish up probably later this summer, and then we'll contribute a third time in the 2018 budget. So that's just a recurring project that will be in the budget from the interlocal that was signed last year. City of Omaha applied for assistance at Barrington Park. There was a large storm, and the north branch of the West Papio washed out the outside bank around a sharp curve. Some significant erosion, and all the way up to the West Papio Trail in that location. So there have been people who have commented about why the trail is closed. There were some photos in there that show the erosion came all the way over and continued, and so now it has eroded all the way up under the trail surface itself. And so this is kind of a dual benefit project that it restabilizes the northwest branch, or the north branch of the West Papio, I guess what that's called, as well as reopens the trail in that location. Omaha applied for the Hillsdale Drainage Swale Improvements. This is near 156th and F Street. They originally listed this as an Urban Conservation Assistance Program application, but due to the distance and the number of corrective measures that were being used, we recommended this as an urban drainage way instead. So it's a few different drop structures and gabion baskets to help decrease flow velocity and prevent future erosion through that open channel drainage way. Omaha applied at Mill Creek at 48th Street. Do you have the application on this one? This is the outfall of quite a large storm sewer back into an open channel. And so it's approximately 350 feet. The channel has got pretty significant erosion. You can see the area where it's very flat is recent erosion areas through this channel. There's a couple additional structures through here. So there's some gas pipes running over the top. The end of the sanitary sewer is breaking. I'm sorry, the storm sewer has kind of broken off and is falling down into the channel. And then there's a buried sanitary line that runs under Mill Creek in this location. And so the recommendation is to help them restabilize the channel, probably with a grade stabilization structure, and then protect all of the different infrastructure that crosses through this little tributary and prevent any future damage. Yeah, that photo right there, actually, if you look down to the lower left at the base of that vertical tree, you can see the top of the sanitary sewer running underneath. That's never a good sign. That means that there could potentially be pretty significant damage, and that would be much, much more expensive. So we always want to protect against that kind of damage happening. Omaha has applied for Oak Brook Park. This is another relatively large storm sewer outfall. If you can go to the map on this one, a couple pages down. Now here's a view of the creek. This is again where the concrete culvert has opened back up to an open channel, and there's just a lot of water flowing through, and it's causing a significant amount of erosion and damage. This project currently has a couple different alternatives that are being considered by FIRA, I believe. And one of the alternatives includes just extending the concrete pipe from its current outlet down all the way to the park section. So the area behind the houses is a very narrow narrow channel, and the alternative is to just pipe that all the way down. That isn't really within the guidelines of the Urban Drainage Way program. The other alternative is to maintain the open channel, elevate it back up, and include about four different steps of grade control structures to bring that down slowly. So if that's the alternative that is selected, that portion would be eligible for Urban Drainage Way funding. And so there's some hybrid of alternative one and four being considered right now, and so we'll work with Omaha and the engineers to figure out what their recommendation is and what portion of that would be eligible for the funding that we have available.
Question on that. What's the right way to do it?
We open drainage waste. Storm sewer unit only just tied to the
front. And FIRA actually is here for a later event, so.
Yeah, if you'd like, I can
do you want to answer?
The leading alternative right now is to keep an open channel as soon as the structures. Culvert alternative is the only place to have one.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
Great. And this one, at the outfall where this meets into the big patio, we contributed to an outfall structure with the City of Omaha a couple years ago. So this is an area where we have worked in the past and needs continuing work. Papillion applied at Portal Road. This is another project where we have worked in the past. Even 2 years ago, we funded a relatively large drainage way project here. At the time, there was some land rights on one corner that were not accessible. They do now have those land rights, and so they are working to basically complete this project continue the work through the drainage way. This is on the south side of Portal Road, just before it gets into the west patio. So it's where an old rail line crosses the rail footing. This is Oak Brook. Go down from here. This one's a little bit out of order. The application looks a little different. Yep, a little bit more. Okay, so here you go. The old rail line crosses just next to Portal Road. The West Papio Trail is down there, and this is next to the new public works facility they've constructed. So essentially finish off the drainage way project that they had started 2 years ago from Portal Road all the way down to the West Papio. And there is a kind of concurrent project on the north side of Portal Road from La Vista, where they intend to close off a gap between two different sewers that are about 15 feet apart and put in some bioretention, and that would be through the Urban Conservation Assistance Program application that they filed last year. So a lot of work here from this facility down to the West Papio, but it's been very beneficial, and it has really improved that drainage way. SID 162 is another project that we've worked on in the past before I started with the district, but this is phase four of the Mission Creek work. There's been three previous projects to help stabilize Mission Creek right before it gets down into the South Papio. Has a similar soil profile as the South Papio, so it sees pretty significant erosion. The creek is pretty deep, and so they've used sheet pile, gabion baskets, a number of different techniques to keep the creek from spreading, kind of meandering out and through the neighborhood. And this is phase four of the four phases that they had originally outlined. So this project has been ongoing for about 10 years, and this should be the last planned project to stabilize the most at-risk portions of Mission Creek through this neighborhood. So the total estimated cost for all the projects is $5.7 million, roughly, and the cost share request is about $1 million. The Hell Creek project is a very large project, so that shows quite a bit of leverage, you might say, but the other projects are all at that 40% cost share level, meaning that none of these projects had applied for either the NET or the 319 funding, which is required to get either the 60% or the 75% cost share. Another note, we received an application from South Sioux City, and we did not recommend that project this year because they do intend to apply for both the NET Environmental Trust and the 319 funding, and so it probably makes more sense to indicate support for that project and then consider that in FY 2018 in our budget when they're a little further along with the project. But it looks like a pretty good project, probably at the 75% level. It's a pretty environmentally sensitive project and part of a big redevelopment. So that was not recommended this year. Looks like a good project, and we probably will recommend it next year. So the recommendation is for these six new projects.
Chair would entertain a motion.
Move step for
is there a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Craig Conley? Chairperson?
Yes. The next item is recreation area development programs.
We provide assistance in areas where cities and counties are encouraging people to get out and enjoy natural resources. There's just two relatively smaller applications this year. The first one is from the city of Omaha at Pollinator Park. If you have the map on that one, this is a long, narrow strip of land between the West Papio Creek, maybe two pages down. Let's see. Okay, here we go. So between the rail line and the West Papio Creek, we've done work in the upper left corner. You can see some bank stabilization through this area. So, again, an area where the NRD has worked in the past, and we even own a little portion of the creek up at the very northern end of this park. But if you go to the maybe one more page down, can you zoom out on this one? North is to the right on this map, but you can see the intended multi-phase park design here. Coming off of Pacific Street, the first part is the entryway. There'll be a small parking lot with a little facility there, bathroom facility, a natural trail through the exploration meadow, as it's called, and so an area with native plant species and pollinators. That's what they're focusing on there. And then an open preserve or just native grassland area at the north end of the park. The city of Omaha received this land as a gift. They basically immediately talked to us about it to see what kind of natural resources environmental area could be created. And so we're looking forward to seeing this constructed in a couple phases over the next few years to have it fully built out and ready for public use.
While you have that on the screen, are you aware of MUD easement for about a 60-inch water main along on north of Pacific Street what was the private property?
We have not, that has not come
that's
up in any of
mine. Elevated, the ground's been elevated over there to protect that pipe.
So
just take it into account.
I will make sure that they are aware.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to set the pipe? You want to set the pipe?
They don't want you to hit it. No. Just push joint steel pipe.
I'm sure that the city of Omaha has looked into that and they're aware of everything that's going on in the area.
I wouldn't bet.
Benefit of the doubt in this one. And then the other application is a relatively small planning application for Halleck Park, just south of the West Papio Creek here, at the east end of their existing Halleck Park. Papillion has done a very significant amount of work across Halleck Park on the south side of the trail, so it's easily accessible by people who are walking and biking. On the east end, there's some land that has been privately owned, and they're in the process of acquiring that land and then intend to use it for new recreational fields, soccer fields essentially. So that would be, again, accessible from the trail and in connection with the extensive work they've done at Halleck Park. This is just planning right now and preparation for the athletic fields in the future. So it's a very small application, just $2,500 cost share. So those are the only two applications we have for this program, and we recommend both of them for funding.
Chair would entertain a motion.
Move staff recommend.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? Would you back up to that one off of Pacific Street again, please? Oh, just that up. Next map, please. Where's going to access to that park going to be? Just at that one spot?
Yes. So it's a very narrow location. And so Bob Boozer Drive comes into Pacific Street on the south side. This is not directly in line with Bob Boozer Drive. It's kind of offset, so it won't have just a combined intersection. So the access will be heading west on Pacific Street, turning right to go into the park. So it's a right-in, right-out access from Pacific Street into the park, but not at the intersection where Bob Boozer Drive is located.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Roll call on the motion, please.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. Go right ahead.
The Trails Assistance Program, the first application is from Omaha for Riverfront Trail Phase 4. We've talked with Dennis Bryce and the Parks Department about this a couple times in the past. Some other projects we've worked on have been indicated other places in the budget, but if we are providing assistance toward completion of a trail project, we feel that the appropriate place to put that would be under the Trails Assistance Program with a full application and a review like this and then a review of the funding in the budget cycle as well. So the overall funding for this program will probably be a little higher than it has been in the past because the cost share here is pretty significant, but it's a pretty significant project. There is federal funding for this project. It's not quite 60%. It was a federal earmark project, so it's been in the works for a number of years. They've got most of the design finalized, gone back through a number of public meetings. But it's a connection from the Riverfront Trail to the south coming out of North Omaha along Abbott Drive, which runs to the airport. And we've had a number of members of the public contact us about this connection in particular because Abbott Drive does have wide shoulders, so people do run and bike along Abbott Drive, but cars are moving at 45 or more miles per hour through that area, so it's not a particularly safe corridor for people to go from the Riverfront Trail up to Levi Carter Park and then continue on to the north section of the Riverfront Trail, which is north of the airport. So you can see it connects from Miller's Landing, which is connected all the way into downtown, along Abbott Drive, into Levi Carter Park. And the other half of this project is to complete the trail around the west side of Levi Carter Park. So it's a pretty extensive project, but it'll provide a really good connection from downtown, as well as additional recreation around Levi Carter Park, which has seen a lot of work from the city of Omaha recently. The second application is actually a reapplication from the city of Papillion. The Walnut Creek Connector Trail, which, as far as I can tell, was originally applied for in about 2007. It had federal funding, so this should be the last project that we see that was under the transportation enhancement funding. Papillion has gone through a number of design improvements and re-reviews and additional meetings. At this point, they do have, start date of July 25th, 2016, with 70 working days, so they are basically contracted to construct this. We had indicated last year funding of $78,000 for this, but again, federal projects take a little longer to get completed than expected, even through the construction bidding process. There's a new culvert under SRAM Road to provide access from the trail network on the south side through the neighborhood and up into Walnut Creek Recreation Area. So this should provide a pretty significant improvement in active transportation and recreation access to the recreation area that we constructed and now the Papillion maintains. So this will be a good project to get completed, and at this point they are right on the cusp of getting it started after a number of years, and this will be the last project. Riverfront Trail has some federal funding, but this should be the last project like this that has federal funding that we'll be working on the Trails Assistance Program.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to tie that in with the road construction that's going to happen there?
I assume so. That's not indicated in the application here. This is the application is essentially the same Trails Assistance Program application from previous years with an updated description of where they are in the project. They've reapplied a couple times here because the project has taken so long, but there isn't additional information about the road construction.
That road is to be proposed to be in construction in August.
I'll check with the city on that. And the last project is in Walt Hill. And this is the Wellness Trail, Phase 2. So Walt Hill put together a comprehensive trail plan in their city park. It's a little difficult to see, but on the bottom, or the I think that's the east side of the park, actually. I think north is to the right on this map. The east side of the park, you can see phase one of the trail coming around the back, the right field of the ball field, right field bleachers of the ball field, and up to the middle. Phase two is to wrap around from behind home plate over toward third base and connect back to the facility over there on the north side of the park. Phase three will connect south from the road down into the kind of natural area, and then phase four will be a natural trail through the woods connecting over to another trailhead parking lot. So I'm thrilled to see Walt Hill come up with a plan, execute phase one last year. That project is completed, and we've provided our assistance to that project. And now the next year, they're ready again, and they're moving forward with phase two. So it's great to see them move forward so quickly and with such focus on getting this whole project completed. So there are three total projects in this program, and all three are recommended for funding this year.
Chair to entertain a motion.
A motion for staff recommendation.
Second. Yeah, motion and second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? Director Bond?
The Omaha Riverfront Trail Phase 4, Levi Carter Park, that's actually in Omaha, or isn't that part of that?
It's in Omaha.
Yeah, there's a fine line. I think that I think the green line in the center actually is the kind of the Iowa line. So the park at the north side, the north shore, and the park itself is in Omaha. The south shore and the city are in Iowa, but the park is maintained by the city of Omaha.
Yeah.
I've got a question on that project. Why aren't they applying for federal funds on that?
They are. It's an earmark, so it's a little bit different than the transportation enhancement funding. I don't know the full history on that. It's been around for a number of years as well.
What level of federal funding is anticipated?
It's about 60%, but again, it's a flat dollar amount earmark. So they have, I think it's in the application, $800,000 roughly of federal funding that is available still to be spent, and then the city will pick up half of the remaining portion. And we will pick up the other half of the remaining portion.
The original earmark has been eroded over time due to cost inflation. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Director Bonner. Director Leahy. Yeah,
different kind of sign question this time. Are there going to be signs, like I drive that, have it drive quite frequently because I travel a lot for my work. And you can just tell people are just used to running or biking on it. When the trail gets put in, I don't really see folks being like, all of a sudden, I'm going to go to the trail. They're just so used to, and good for them, owning their part of the street on Abbott Drive. So are there going to be signs saying, hey, now's the time to go to the trail? And I don't see, I mean, it's just a red line. Any trailheads like going into, there's more and more hotels being put up there. So the people from the hotels know where to access a running trail if they're there listening and just want to get a quick run in or whatever, walk.
So in the other packet, the trail is on the west side of the road there. So it crosses down by Miller's Landing. There'll be a crossing over Abbott Drive. So I would expect that everyone will see it over there and would vastly prefer to use the trail. There will probably be signs at the at Miller's Crossing at that traffic light. I assume there'll be signs saying, you know, trail this way. And I think people will probably find it there. It should be much nicer than running on the shoulder, which has gravel and broken glass.
You'd be surprised the people who are running at 4:30 a.m. on that way, what they prefer to do.
I think that's I guess that's an operational question for the city of Omaha as to how they encourage people onto the trail and not the road.
Yeah, some of it will be marketing, obviously. And
yeah.
press releases. But again, we've had there's been a couple people who have emailed or phone called both us, the City of Omaha, and the City of Council Bluffs about this project each of the last 3 years. And so I know that we're all glad to get to tell them it's moving to construction. Well, it should be constructed, I think, spring of 2017 is the timeline.
Your comment about cross the trail crossing over Abbott Drive, you didn't mean on some kind of an elevated structure, did you?
No. It's at the very south end of the – this portion of the trail is from Miller's Landing at that other park facility. If you go to the next page, I think there's a more zoomed-in map. Well, you can see it right at the very bottom, Miller's Landing Park.
Right.
So you can see that it crosses – Abbott Drive right there, just at grade.
It's at grade crossing.
Yes,
that's all
it's not elevated or underneath. Yep.
Director Bonner.
Abbott Drive is actually 35. Just a little FYI.
I think doesn't it fluctuate?
Out of the airport.
Yeah. Doesn't it fluctuate from 35 to 45 and then back to 35?
Trust me, it's almost all the
way. My brother is familiar with that as well.
The trail over there was 10 feet. Am I correct? In that?
I think so. The application
it's a little bit wider than our standard trails.
Or 10 foot.
Yeah. We usually do 10 foot. Sometimes the City of Omaha does 8 foot trails. But I think this is a 10 foot trail.
With federal money, it will be.
How are you handling the fact that we're building an island? Yes, we are. We're crossing the little outlet back where you are crossing a strip of Iowa.
No.
Okay. Trust me.
I guess that's one of the things that we leave to the city to sort out on their own. I don't know if there's a policy for the district that would have any problem.
I think the city has an agreement. This earmark actually was part of the earmark built the Bob Carey Bridge.
Oh, that's good.
So it was meant for Iowa and Nebraska. So the federal money, I think, is okay. I don't know. Omaha and Council Bluff have an agreement on who maintains the trail for the road right there. I would guess Omaha's got it.
Our cost share will not contribute to that portion of the trail.
That's good.
We'll change the speed limit in that section.
Are we ready to vote on this item? Do we have a motion yet on this item? Okay. Any other comments? Roll call, please.
Caesar?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Brett Hundley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Now the lake dredging program.
The last program is the lake dredging program. We received one application from the City of Omaha for the Fontenelle Park Lagoon. This is a portion of a much more significant project that's happening. So you might have seen in the application that it does indicate this is a CSO project. But we were very clear with them that the portion that is eligible for funding under the lake dredging program is not any of the CSO work. So this project is essentially vertically separated. At the top of the lagoon, they are expanding it to show a 75% increase in the stormwater detainment for the CSO portion. They're also redoing most of the edges of the lagoon. However, at the bottom, they're improving fish habitats. And so the function here is to dredge the lake and provide additional depth underneath the portion that is CSO. So only the top of the lake functions for stormwater retainment during large rain events. The bottom of the lake has no function there at all. So they could complete the CSO work without dredging the lake. That would just mean that it's a very shallow lake and it would not be an ideal fishing fish habitat condition. If they dredge the lake, they get additional water quality improvement and they get additional fish habitat benefits. So initially they had listed a different total project cost amount, and we asked them to go back and break out only the portion of the project that is specific to the dredging activities and not any of the other activities. And so the cost here is $286,000 for only the dredging below the CSO project happening at the same time with the same contractor, but it is separate from the other work. So this will, again, improve water quality and provide additional fish habitat. So this will be a nice recreation area for people to go out at the former golf course and enjoy this new refreshed lake. That's the only project we received in this program, and we recommend this one for approval.
Chair and entertain a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors? You said former golf course. Did they close that golf course?
Yeah, 5 years ago?
No. 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Good.
Yeah.
It's so they're going to flood that whole lower end of the park then, on the west end there?
Well, they're just increasing
the capacity of the lagoon itself, which is north of the word Fontanelle there. It almost looks like the grass.
I know. I grew up right
okay.
in the edge of your map there.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, they're expanding the area of the lagoon, but they're not taking over the entire park, per se. It's just it's about twice as large. And so most of that is increasing the elevation and then putting a new structure on the exit to help keep water in during a storm event, kind of like Adams Park, same general concept.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Roll call on a motion, please.
Feller?
Yes.
Brett Conley?
Aye.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yeah.
Chairperson?
Yes. I believe that completes our agenda. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all.
Does anybody want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take it.
What's that? Yes. Okay. We'll reconvene in 5 minutes.
This next Wednesday?
I'll call the meeting up FEL to order.
Will you meet for lunch on that day? I got something to show you.
Before we start, we have an excused absence from Jim Thompson. And Fred, if you'd be nice enough to fill in. We have unexcused absences from Kurt Frost and Ron Woodle. And let the record show that. And I'm going to ask Tim Fowler and Dave Klug to take those spots. We have no case in Open Meeting Act. As stated earlier, Open Meeting Act is posted on the back door and outside with that quorum call.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Here.
Yes, here. Adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Fred.
Yes.
Yes. Proof of publication, I have it before me.
Yeah.
Item 6, review and recommendation of RFP for auditing services. Carrie, you're on.
Under current policy, the district is required to request proposals for auditing services every 5 years. This time we received just two. From HSNC Horizon, who was our most recent firm, and Blandin Associates, who we had worked with for several years prior. So we had experience with both, and based on that and the bid shown, staff recommends that the subcommittee recommends to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract for auditing services with HSNC Horizon for fiscal years 2016 through 2020, subject to approval by legal counsel.
I move approval.
Do I second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Klug. Anybody from the general public wish to comment? Directors? Hearing none? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Klug?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Item 7, review and recommendation, Thompson Creek Levee Improvement Project, Ricky Property, right-of-way purchase, Martin Cleveland. Good evening, Martin.
Go to the map, Bill, the color map. This project, we commenced work in the middle of last summer. We're actually at the stage where we're finishing the right bank as of this week, probably, based upon the way things are going. Right bank is looking downstream. This is from 66th Street down to this point, roughly 2,000 feet. Left bank is on this side. And so once we finish this, we'll move over to the left bank and start work and hopefully get it done by next spring at the latest. We have basically to March of 2017 to complete it under the core criteria. So that's our goal. But during construction of this part of the project, we realized that we had a little conflict here, and that was guardrail along the road. It prevents us from actually going out like we should off the top of the levee, and so we have to go around it in order to do it properly. We need more right-of-way from the Frickies. It's 0.3 acres. They agreed to accept the appraised value, which was in 2014, of $10,000 an acre. So you multiply the acres times the $10,000 per acre is $3,060. And we'd recommend that in order to give proper access to the levee. Again, it's kind of an oversight. We probably should have seen it during planning phase, but we didn't see it. Frickies, fortunately, were cooperative to work with and agreed to provide the easement for this access and for the levee. As a side note, it's already built. They agreed to let us build it in process, but we're just trying to make it official now so we actually can use it. If you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them.
Move the staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Anybody from the general public wishing to comment? Directors? Anyone? Roll call.
Cliff.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Shepherd.
Yes. Thank you very much. Item number 8, review and recommendation of accounts over 110%, Elkhorn River 240 Street Professional Services. Eric, good evening.
Good evening. This is the Elkhorn River 240th Street Bank Stabilization Project, just across the county line. And this project has been designed and constructed and is out there right now. But in receiving the final invoice from FIRA for their services, we realized that the account is slightly over what we had budgeted for FY 2016. That's due to the fact that we were slightly under what we had budgeted in 2015. So during the budgeting process for this year, I think we expected more to have been billed in the last fiscal year. So this is not an increase in the overall cost of the project. This is not a change in the contract with FIRA. It's just a request to authorize the final payment. The total account balance would be $29,561, and that would be the final balance for that account. The budget was $25,000, so this is 118% of what was budgeted. But again, that's not an increase in the project cost or the contract with FIRA. One final note, since this project has been completed, we did invite FIRA here, and we have some information about the project, so we can provide that as just an update about the project after the item. That was the intention, to let you know what happened with this project and see the finished work. So the recommendation is to allow the account to go over 110% of the budget.
Motion.
Second.
Motion and second. Anybody from the audience? Directors?
I have a question.
Oh.
You said 25,000 versus 28 or 29,000.
Yeah.
Is that just the amount in the budget, or did the total amount of the contract change someplace along the way?
Nope, no changes. The total contract, FIRA did put in some additional hours to get this project completed, but they did not invoice for the additional work they completed, and so we did not file any change order on their contract throughout the project.
That's good.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Cliff.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Jefferson.
Yes. It passed with the give me the score.
5-0.
Thank you. You've got to have that.
And
need to say that.
And as I indicated, FIRA is here to provide a little bit of information about the project to show you kind of what's happened. So to just be very brief.
Good evening, fellas. Could you introduce yourselves?
Of course. I'm Bob Regulus with FIRA Engineering.
I'm Ethan Miller with FIRA.
That's right. That's been an interesting and very fun history on this project. So let's give a very quick, that's exactly it, though, if you can. So just a kind of a flashback, this project, of course, stems from an event that occurred basically in 2010. I'm going to basically call this a slow-moving train wreck over a period of years that the project itself came together very well. Is that it's late, or is it? So, if you can go to the next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. Thank you. So, again, this is approximately 240th and Q Street. There's a very dramatic bend in the Elkhorn River. During 2010, there was a substantial erosion of the bank line itself, and basically in this location, they lost about 325 foot of bank line over the course of approximately a week. There's some previous project history here from the 1993 construction project. I can answer questions on that if you're interested later. But the project itself was conceived, and the preferred solution was selected to construct a pilot channel through this location here, which is very close to the approximately 1960 floodplain, the old channel. Back from decades ago. So, good location. This was the selected alternative that proceeded with construction. Again, this was approximately 2011 that this contract was started. We've obviously gone through a lot of modeling to look at the pilot channel's development, how that was going to affect fish habitat, et cetera, through the old meander, how everything was going to progress through the years. Some other work, and we can talk about this all if you're interested. One of the things we did have to come up with was a pilot channel that made sense, because obviously we wouldn't want to excavate a 400-foot-wide channel. So in an effort to save money for the NRD, we tried to come up with a reasonably sized pilot channel that would let Mother Nature take care of that erosion process for us. And this is just one of the sample plots that we've talked about, and this is a result of about a million different runs, literally, of basically every possible solution that could ever come up. And what we came to was that we basically needed a plug on the upstream end of this channel. So let me kind of get to this real quick. So what we ended up having to do with this, to ensure that erosion would occur within this pilot channel, we've constructed a plug at the upstream end approximately 4 feet high. And the idea is that when this ruptures, the first flood pulse that moves through here will be a very dramatic one. And that pulse is going to ensure that the first water that this channel sees is going to be highly erosive, and it's going to start that process, move towards full channel migration. Some of the other things that we've done to try to ensure that this project develops correctly is we've throated the inlet, as you can see here and there. This just increases the chance that water is going to basically come around that bend and make its way into this structure. To help lower the cost of the initial project, we moved with a kind of a, I'll call it a strange idea, but we've actually buried the rock riprap structures. Those are under approximately 2 to 4 feet of ground, depending upon where they're at. The idea is that we don't want to protect the whole bank line, top to bottom, with the Elkhorn River, with the sandy soils. The vegetation can do a really great job in that upper 3 to 4 feet where the roots can become established, but it's the lower portion that matters. So to help cut the cost, we've actually buried the riprap in those locations. It isn't all that pretty right now, of course, because it's under soil. one of the other things we actually came up with also was the J structure. This is a kind of a combination USGS and the core structure that helps to redirect that energy. And you can see there's basically four of those in place here, here, and here. And so as the flows come around this bend, these help to redirect the energy towards the middle of the channel to try to keep the lowest point of the channel out here in the center and prevent erosion on this outer bend. Let's see. That's without going into more detail, please let me know if there's any questions on the construction, but I'll turn it over to Ethan. He's going to discuss the construction itself and how that progressed.
So I had the privilege of being out on site during a majority of the construction. I know a large part of the time actually on the site was with clearing. They had about 26 acres of trees to clear. So over 2 or 3 weeks, they cleared the land. Majority of the trees were burned. They did save majority of the walnut trees, though, as well. They had a logger come on site, remove the ones that they did not need for tree revetments, and then they also logged cottonwoods from the site. This next photo is a snapshot of the entire site cleared. If you look to the left, that would be the north bank. It's hard to tell from far away, but on the right would be the southern end of the pilot channel. As they went further along the project, they started building the revetments. This would be the walnut tree revetments. Fairly streamlined process. You can go into detail if you'd like further on that. Here is some of the riprap Bob was talking about. So on the left would be the, we actually, on the northern and southern ends of the pilot channel, there's above ground riprap. And then in between those two portions, we have buried riprap, which is the photo on the right. And here we can see on the left, there's the construction of the J structures. And on the right, they're actually placing rock in between the tree revetments that prevent further erosion. About 8 weeks in, they finally started to excavate the pilot channel, and on the left, that's the first day they started digging. They dug about, I think, 400 feet per day, north to south. And on the right, that's a more complete more complete excavation of the pilot channel itself. And on the left, you can see this is looking south. So they had reached the Elkhorn River. Pilot channel is essentially complete. And on the right, you can see where the northern plug is.
And the plug itself, just so that you're aware, again, this is approximately 4 feet high.
Yes.
And this plug here, in theory, hopefully, if the flood works out correctly, will basically fail catastrophically, allowing that first flush to move through the pilot channel and start that erosion process.
And the current elevation of the river is about 1 to 2 feet below the plug right now. So, and then the channel itself, or actually, sorry, it's maybe deeper than that. I think that the channel itself is, yeah.
It's pretty deep at that location. Yeah. We've had IC to go through the construction season quite a bit higher than normal. Complicated a little bit. Again, I apologize, we kept that very short, so we'll open it to questions, of course, if you have any.
Like a good brush.
So one final note is that we were just talking before this. This is going to be very interesting when it activates. We don't know when that will be, so we're going to have a little pool to bet on the date. Could be next week. Could be this weekend if it rains a lot. It could be 5 years from now. So it'll be a developed channel whenever the water gets to it. And secondly, we're looking at potentially setting up some photography or video out there so we can actually see when the project activates, because this is the kind of thing that doesn't happen very often. We've done this once before, 25 years ago, but it'll be a very interesting project, and we think we're going to present it later this summer at a conference to show off the concept here, and if it's activated by then, hopefully we can show off some of the work that, or some of the in-process as it's developing documentation as well. So it should be very interesting.
I was actually very impressed by the fact that the river was running way higher than normal all you know, winter and spring, and to get this done, I compliment you.
I have to give a lot of credit to the contractor. I think they did an excellent job on this. That's obviously a complicated matter when your groundwater is a couple feet higher than you anticipated. So, but they managed to work through it.
Yeah, they moved through a lot of mud.
Very good.
Encountered groundwater at higher elevations than expected due to the high river level. Sand was reached about 2 to 3 feet down throughout the whole site. So groundwater just seeped through the site so easily. But I think contractor did a great job on the project.
Very good.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Any other comments? Hearing them? Meeting adjourned.